This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 342 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Yep.
You excited about tomorrow night?
What's tomorrow night? Oh, we got to see The Cure. Yes, you remembered. So I'm off to see the band The Cure tomorrow night. And yeah. So I'm, as a normal recording night, I'm kind of looking forward to it, but kind of a bit trepidatious as well.
Why?
Well, because they play for 3.5 hours.
Awesome.
No, it's boring.
What?
Short, sharp shit. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
You don't them enough.
I do. I've liked them for 30 odd years. But, you know, you can only take so much.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I don't get Bruce Springsteen. Who wants to see Bruce Springsteen for 4 hours?
Yeah.
Especially if you're standing up.
Yeah.
In a crowd. You know, it's a hot day. Oh, just, you know, have a break, dude, you know?
I haven't experienced one of his shows that goes that long. The longest of his shows that I've seen was about 3 hours 40, and that was because they had a failure of the sound system. The power generators died, and so for 20 minutes the band were playing a cappella on the stage.
Oh, God.
Just trying to keep the vibe going until the power came back.
How weird.
But wow. But he played a show only a week and a half ago in one of the northern European countries. I can't remember which one it was. It was like the Netherlands or somewhere like that. 3 hours 48.
That's nuts. Well, it's a Cure in Sydney the other night. They played 36 songs.
Yeah, right.
And some of their songs go for like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? So times 36. I mean, yeah, fair crack of the whip, guys. You know, I'm not talking about value for money. I get it. But, you know, I'm bored after. You know, I don't have the greatest attention spans. You may not have noticed.
Well, rock up an hour late to the gig. Because all the good stuff's going to be at the back end of the set.
Yeah, fair point.
So just go out and have a nice dinner.
Well, they do 4 encores, so maybe I should show up for them.
Yeah.
Can you tell us when the encores are on, and I'll come for that? Because there are 4 of those, 4 encores of 4 songs each, and they do like 4 songs in each encore.
Yeah, right.
There's 16 songs. That's a full concert.
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half right there, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Probably.
It's a good concert.
Yeah.
4 encores, 16 songs, hour and a half. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yep.
The only one benefit is because they're old, and so all the people going to it. Yeah. They start at 7:30.
Yeah, nice.
Which makes it kind of doable, you know. It's just like if they're on at 9 and go for 4 hours, like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So I don't quite get the whole super long concert, but it should be a good night, hopefully.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm not a massive Cure fan, but I'm familiar with most of the stuff that was hit on the radio, and they were all good songs. So,
well, looking at them now, they're one of those bands that you don't want to be up too close,
right?
You know, when they're 60, fat and ugly, you know, that's not kind of reliving your youth when you go see someone who's 60, fat and ugly trying to sing the same thing. Yeah, get back and don't look at the screens too much.
Yeah,
In fact, if you face the back of the stage, the back of this auditorium rather than the stage,
yeah.
All you have to do is listen.
Yeah, that's right.
Back them, you know? Of course, it's one of those bands that, you know, okay, there's only one member left of the original band.
Oh, really?
The lead singer, which is fortunate because he's like the only one anyone remembers anyway.
What's his name? Smith?
Yeah, Robert Smith.
Robert Smith, that's
it. But it's like, yeah, it's still, yeah, it's like a cover band, really, isn't it? But he's doing his own covers.
Yeah.
Looking at it, do.
Oh, well.
So that's going to be a fun night anyway.
So what's the venue?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, how many live venues does Melbourne have?
Oh, 50.
That would host a band of that calibre?
Less.
Is it Rod Laver Arena? Oh,
they'd all hold a band of that calibre.
Is it Rod Laver Arena?
They'd all hold a band of that calibre, absolutely.
Right.
There's just some of it only hold 15 fans, so the tickets would be expensive. Some are all 15,000 fans, so it sort of amortifies out the cost.
Right. Okay. We should probably talk photography.
I might take some photos with my phone.
Yeah.
Once again, not of them because they look too fat and old and ugly, but maybe like colourful lights or something.
Yep, right.
So you've been up to a little bit yourself this week, have you?
Last weekend? Yeah. So I caught up with Kathleen, the French model from France.
Oh, hi, ho.
Bought Bordeaux. It was...
Yeah, go on.
It was an interesting shoot.
What way?
One, it was middle of the day.
Yeah.
Which meant, you know, you...
But hang on a sec.
Yep.
In all fairness,
yep.
Middle of the day in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
So it's low light, low angle light anyway. Compared to middle of the day in summer.
Okay.
It's pretty... give me 12 o'clock in the day, middle of winter light to work with. It's pretty darn good. The sun's not too high an angle.
Yeah.
It's like 9:30 or 9 o'clock on a summer's day sort of height.
Yeah.
Which is quite usable.
Yeah.
So that's one excuse. So next.
I found I was struggling a little bit, and I'm not entirely sure why. There was a language barrier. She spoke English, but very limited English.
Yeah.
And I thought about it afterwards. I should have checked out that link that you and Peters sent about Google Translate. I should have been using
that. Say "aha hee haw" into it and see what comes out. "Aha hee haw."
So So anyway, so we were shooting. I can't think of the name of the point now, but it is essentially the land just to the west of the harbour bridge. Sort of Barangaroo Point and, around that area. So, we just found a few different areas and, she did want some stuff with, the key landmarks in the shot. So, she wanted to do that. She wanted to have a shot taken at the Opera House. And so we went to the Opera House and she went, "There's so many people." I was like, it's a Sunday. And this is, one of the key places that people come to when they're in
Sydney.
And it
was sunny.
Yes. So, and it was absolutely blowing a gale at the Opera House. And it was just, difficult to find a good angle that, didn't have her dwarfed in the shot.
Yeah.
And trying to keep as many people out of the image as possible. So, we did a walk all the way around the Opera House and, shot a few things. Nothing that I was absolutely blown away with, but she was happy.
I can tell because you didn't send any of those through for me to critique.
Oh, the Opera House, didn't I?
No.
Right. Okay.
They must suck, yeah.
They do. Yeah. So then we jumped in the car and we drove over to the other side of the Opera, the other side of the Carl Expressway, which is the road that comes off the Harbour Bridge, and found, there was a park sort of at the top end of the landmass there that, gave you a good vantage point of the Harbour Bridge from the western side. And did a few different locations around there and did some stuff in some back streets with, nice sandstone walls and a cute little cottage and just various bits and pieces. Where I was struggling with the light, because it was middle of the day, it was very contrasty. So you'd get one side of the face really well lit, and the other side would be in complete shadow. So I had one flash that I was firing off camera, that was inside of a softbox, and what I was finding was that at the lowest ISO I could shoot at, which is 100, I was, in order to maintain a sync speed of a 250th, I had to shut aperture down to, probably f8, f11, varied from shot to shot, obviously. But it meant having the flash firing at full power and realistically no more than, a metre and a half from her in order to balance it against the sun.
Yeah.
And because the flash and softbox had to be that close, that limited angles and, how wide I could shoot. It was a challenge.
Well, you could have done creative editing and, done like two shots, one with the flash and stand in the shot and then whip it out and do another shot without it there.
I suppose.
Well, you could have.
I could
have. You could have gone bare flash rather than softbox. That would have given you more distance.
Right.
Because you've got hard light coming from one side. Doesn't hurt to have hard light on the other side as well.
Right.
So you're matching your lights that way as opposed to soft light, hard light.
Right.
So you could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have not had any light on her face at all, just had the light on her hair, so use more as a backlight and a rim light.
As in put the sun behind her?
Yeah.
Right.
So use the only light on her face will be shadow on whatever flash you put on it.
Right.
So that way you're not trying to match brightness with a very bright sun.
Yeah.
And a flash that's struggling.
Yeah.
So there's lots of little tricks there you can kind of solve those problems somewhat.
Yep. The other option that I had, which I should have thought about in advance because, you know, once I got down there, I'd only taken a certain amount of gear with me. The other option was to use my other softbox, which allows you, it's a different, slightly different design of softbox in that you put the flashes inside the softbox and you fire them into the back of the softbox.
Yeah.
And what I could have done with that softbox was used a T-bar and had two flashes in there.
Exactly.
And I didn't think about just how contrasty the light was going to be in advance, and so I only went with one flash on me, and sort of once I got there and started shooting, I went, really wish I'd brought another flash and the other softbox and the T-bar.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
And 15 people to carry the gear for me.
That's it. So she helped carry gear around, which was
lovely. it's all a learning experience though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Look, end of the day, it was a good challenge. It was a good experience for me because, you know, how many times have we said, you know, photography is 99% problem solving?
Yeah.
So it was that for me. And she was really happy with the stuff that I gave her. So
really? So she's very inexperienced.
I knew I'd be opening myself up to that.
Because you did title your email to me with the photos, some ammunition for you.
Yes.
So shall we talk about the photos?
Okay.
Get ready, people. This could get ugly. This could get... No. Let's do them in order.
Yeah, okay.
To what you said. So you sent one through of she's looking like down a brick wall or some sort of wall-y sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting's nice.
Thank you.
Done good there. There's a kind of a weird thing on the wall above her head.
Where
it's like the wall's obviously got some white stuff on it.
That white stuff would be sunlight.
Yeah, okay. So the problem is it looks like her hair.
Right.
So it looks like her hair goes up the wall.
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying, yep.
Because it's all sort of contiguous to that spot. So it's just I would in post maybe do something
other just darken that in post.
Just clone it out.
Yeah.
I would darken it. I don't know if darkening is going to do quite enough job, but clone it out so it's not quite leading the eye quite so much that way.
Right.
I like your angle shooting down the line. Mm-hmm. That's good. I don't think the pose flatters her physical shape very well.
Yeah.
It makes her look exceptionally booby. Very heavy chested. Okay. Now, if you brought, and that elbow coming out of her head looks a bit weird.
Right.
Yeah. So if you could have brought, so her left shoulder, which is pointing at the camera,
mm-hmm.
if you'd brought that around further so it was touching the wall.
Right.
That would bring her right shoulder out more sort of like a tenor position. And by doing that would have turned her body towards you a bit.
Yep.
And that would have minimized her boobage.
Right.
It would have all had that impact of sort of lessening the side-on impact of it.
Right.
And then I think that shot would have worked. But other than that, it's nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I find she's got a hard face.
Right.
So her facial expressions are kind of hard. Okay. Kind of reminds me a bit of Debbie Harry from Blondie.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of that.
A bit of that sort of post-punk sort of snarl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's got a little bit of that. But I think, so the only things to me in that shot that you could have tweaked while shooting as well, try moving that pose around to see those sort of body shape issues.
Yeah. Again, that's my inexperience at posing.
But that's the thing. So how many locations do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing this for you to learn, okay, you get that up and then you say, okay, let's just try, you try moving around a bit for me and get them to move into position. You don't even have to be shooting. Just get them to kind of move this shoulder, move that, move in a bit of an arc. Try turning around the clock face for me and just see what happens with the body shape. And you'll see stuff that'll pop out.
Yeah, right.
Stuff that you hadn't thought of yourself.
Yeah.
But she's moving now. Oh, that looks great. Stop there. Or just go back a bit. And and then try that. And that may still not be the best. And as she gets moving around, you keep finding, you know, these different feels. So I always say it's like, you know, like those clowns at the fair where you put the ping pong balls in. Yeah, you have the head move back. Well, you do that with the head because that does it with the arc of light across the face.
Right.
You can also do that with the body. Try moving the body on that same kind of arc back and forward.
Right.
And see how it changes the feel of the shot.
Right.
Maybe if you're taking her shoulders away from you more, and she was looking backwards over her shoulder, would have given you a different feel again.
Right.
So it's about maximizing your space. You've got that. You've got this location set up. You're not necessarily loving it, but what else can you do? Well, just try this movement stuff.
Yeah.
And see, because everyone poses differently. Everyone looks different in different angles. And when you don't know the person, it's harder to find those spots quickly. So you get to this routine of getting them to move in certain angles.
Right.
And then trying to see what that does. Now, the other sort of thing you could have done is you could have arched her back off the wall more.
Okay.
So really sort of pushed out more.
That would increase the boobs, though.
Not necessarily, because then you could have done some coverage with the arms.
Right.
Because you brought the arms up and it's almost like the cupping the shoulder. You could have worked those positions just to see what works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As if she's very, very perpendicular to the wall. She's very straight.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of shape, and there's not a lot of movement for her to give a nice body shape.
Right.
But other than that, it's good.
Okay.
Good. So it's not so bad.
Okay.
That's your best shot.
Right. It's all downhill from there.
So the next one down is with the girl with the Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
And most of these shots, just so everyone's aware, I'm looking at these for the first time. I glanced at them the other day when you sent them through, but I've not known actually looked at them.
Right.
Okay. So I'm looking at them for the first time,
so
really
you're
now.
So critiquing them real time.
Yeah, pretty much. It makes more sense to me if I look at it and try and think about it.
Fair enough.
So the first biggest problem I see is the eyelash shadow.
Yes.
Yeah, straight away, bang, that is this really weird shaped line on that shadow on the bridge of a nose.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that just looked odd straight away.
Right.
So this is one of those situations where you could have brought her face further away from the sun, so the sun was more striking the back of her head.
Right.
So it was beautiful blonde, fake, but blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
That could have lit up nicely with the sun, and then used the flash to fill her face. So it would be more of a profile shot.
Yeah.
Then look at me sort of shot.
Right.
That would have dramatically fixed those shadows.
Yep.
And all those shadow, because there's a lot of shadow problems in that left eye, the left camera left eye.
Yeah.
So it's kind of really weird compared to the back eye.
Right.
The hand looks a bit weird.
Okay.
It's just sort of there. Yeah. Maybe if she sort of centered frame, if you could have moved her a little bit further to the left and stretched the arm out a little bit more to the right, you might have filled the frame with her a little bit more.
Right.
It could have been one of those. Once again, she's very, very straight on, side onto the camera. Maybe you could have brought that shoulders around a little bit more, get a little bit more of an angle.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of angle going. There's like, yeah, there's 90 degree to the fence and her. There's not a lot of other angles going on. So bringing your shoulders around would have given you an extra little depth to the shot.
Okay.
But your lighting's, as far as your balancing, your light's pretty good. This is one of those situations where, your flashlight is very cold and the sunlight's quite warm.
Right.
You can see the colour difference between the two sides. It's blue on one side, yellow on the other.
Yeah.
So that's where a quarter CTO gel would have really worked well.
Yeah, right.
Just a quarter, just that little warming tone.
Yep.
It takes a bit of power out of your flash, unfortunately, but it does warm up and balance those tones. You'd have found a quarter CTO would have made that feel a lot warmer.
Right.
Nothing. You're a raw shooter, so there's nothing you can't fix in post.
Yeah, that's true.
If you've got 50 photos to do. Yeah. It makes sense to do it on the flash.
Yeah, exactly.
Do 50 times. But that's an easy fix. So if I was you, I'd go warm up that little bit of light on that side.
Right.
And you'll find it's going to be that it'll be a little bit more pleasing. It almost looks like it's very cold, like a fluoro light on the face.
Right.
It's very unnatural light.
Yeah.
That building between her and the bridge or whatever it is a bit of a, yeah, I know you can't help that because that's where it was there, but it kind of takes away from the bridge and makes this big blocky mass.
Yeah.
So what I probably would have done is try and put her shoulders a little bit more into that mass of the building.
Right. Yep.
If you shoot a little bit lower.
Yep.
So you shoot up to her a little bit higher. It would bring her shoulder blades into that, and that would block quite a bit of the building.
Yeah. Right.
And then we'd add more of the Harbour Bridge sort of as a main feature behind her.
Right.
It would have given that more emphasis and less emphasis on the building because her body would have blocked more of it.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yep.
So that's, again, one of those things, okay, you've got the shot, okay, you can't, you get her to do that movement, but then you do the movement. What if I go down a bit lower? What if I go a little bit higher? What if I go a bit to the left? What if I go a bit to the right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying all those different angles, yeah, but changing your perspective can dramatically change the way the shot's going to look.
Right.
And I think that one would have been a stronger shot of her in the bridge by you being about a foot lower,
yeah.
Shooting that little higher to her.
Yeah.
Which just would have raised her in the frame. But again, not as bad as your Red Riding Hood ones. It's still good. next one down again.
Yeah.
Similar scenario. The first thing I see in this shot is that lit building behind her with the cars.
Yeah.
So once again, if you'd shot from fractionally lower, her shoulders would have blocked that building.
Yeah.
It would have been more of a shot of her and the skyline.
Right.
Yeah. There would have been less that mid-ground between her and the background.
Yeah.
Which I think would have strengthened the shot a bit again.
Yeah.
Then once again, you're battling the very hard sunlight and you're trying to soften down the light with a flash.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to have hard light on one side of the face, have hard light on both sides of the face.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of looks weird to have soft and hard.
Right.
If you had punchy on both sides.
Okay.
It might have looked a little bit more... more
balanced,
exactly.
Yeah.
Once you see the color temperature, it's not as obvious in this one, but there's still a color temperature difference between these two lights.
Yeah.
To me, actually, these look like LED panel lighting.
Yeah, right.
You know, when you can get that tone from LED panels.
Yeah.
Once again, I would have warmed up the tones there, and maybe I don't know. I don't mind the highlight of the sunlight on her nose, and I don't mind the highlight on the side of her face. I just think it diminishes her eyes a little bit. Her eyes are just the darkest part of that shot, pretty much her eyes.
Yeah.
So I would have maybe tried to find a little bit, way of bringing a little bit more light into her eyes, and maybe to do that would have been to bring your flash around a little bit closer to you.
Right.
Use it a little bit as a fill flash rather than a side flash, a cross-lighting flash.
Okay.
So the advantage of that, A, would have filled those shadows a bit better.
Yeah.
It would still be the duller of the two lights.
Yep.
But you'd have light, and then you'd have a feature light. A main light would have been the sunlight, and a fill light. You wouldn't necessarily need to have shadows in the shot, but it would still have depth because you'd have these two balanced light sources.
Right.
These two different tones and strengths of light. Why did you put the flash where you put it? Is that the best spot? Would maybe, once you've started doing the shots, moving it around, would that make a difference? See how it goes, you know?
I certainly couldn't have moved it any further to the right because it was up against the fence.
Closer to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want it closer to you.
Yeah.
So that's what I say. So that's the arc you've got to work. So you've got three arcs to work with.
Yeah.
Their relationship to the light and or camera.
Yeah.
Your relationship to them and the light, and then your light's relationship to them and those other three forces. So there's all these three things. So sometimes it's a matter of, okay, you start off, but it's not quite working. But moving that flash a meter closer to you could have changed everything, and everything starts to click.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of thinking, okay, slow it down. What elements can move easily? Well, the sun's not moved anywhere, so that's fixed. Well, she can move in relationship to the sun. I can move in relationship to her and the sun, and my light can move in relationship to those two.
Yeah.
So you work with the fixed one first. I'm going to get the light on her in relation to the light that's kind of immovable, the sun. It's moving, but you know what I mean? It's the fix. So you get that light looking good. And now I'm going to put the flash here. How does that look? Oh, that looks okay. What if I put it here? Then you start looking at the placement for your secondary light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once you've got those two working well, then where do you stand in relation to those things?
Right. Yep. Yep.
But yeah, once again, perspective, a little bit lower. Punch up the light source again. Once again, she's got the same sort of expression on her face. She's very one expression.
Yeah.
Which is, get it, talk to her. You're probably tied up thinking about all the technical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to start to think about, especially someone from overseas, what are you doing in the holidays? What are you seeing? Where are you going? And as she thinks, she brings different expressions.
Right.
She becomes less in front of the camera, and she starts going into her mind more, and you start seeing stuff, and you start capturing those moments.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep.
Next one down is the doorway.
Yep.
I like the composition. Okay. I would either darken down the brickwork on the right-hand side or eliminate it.
Right.
Because the bricks on the left-hand side are very dark.
Yep.
That's your old inverse square law working right there.
Yeah.
Talking about inverse square law from last week.
Yeah.
So I'd want to balance that. My eye tends to go a little bit too much to the right of the frame because it's brighter.
Right.
And I'd possibly even darken down the doorway there on the right there just to give it a little bit more the light direction on her rather than so much on the doorway. Now, there's a couple of things you could have done with it. You could have done that while shooting. You could have either put a gobo on there, a little something that blocks the light from hitting the wall quite so much. You could have feathered the light by bringing the light off the wall a little bit more so it's just kissing across her face and not hitting the wall so much.
Right. This was still shooting from within the flash, from within the softbox.
Yeah, but, well, once again, maybe it's not a time for a softbox or for finding ways of blocking. If your softbox has a grid, as an example, you could put a grid on the softbox and it gives it more direction so it's not hitting the wall and the door as much as it is hitting her.
Right.
That way you've got a little bit more control over where it's hitting, a little bit more control of the light on her, and a bit more mood in the scene because the brightest spot in this shot is the door.
Yeah.
This is a big expanse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Her white shirt's really brighter. Her face is brighter than the wall, but my eye goes to that top quarter of where the bright door is.
Yeah.
Because it's fairly bold and it's a big expanse of flat. I reckon if you just tweak that in post, it'll really bring the emphasis back on her a lot more.
Right.
I like it. Funny if her weird, her funny sort of harder expression works really well for this shot.
Okay.
Her eyes look a bit sleepy, a bit weird.
Right.
So yeah, but I mean, I think there's a good shot there. It might not have captured it, but the intent was good.
Right.
Yeah, and that's okay because that's part of the learning process.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the right track. It just didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
And that can sometimes be the model. That model can't do it. Yeah, right. The next one you try it with, it just works because her face shape's a little bit better, or her eyes do a little bit different thing, and all of a sudden, bang, that shot pops.
Yeah,
so,
you're on the track there. Nice texture on the ground though. That cobblestone and stuff's beautiful.
Yeah.
In all honesty, though, the next one is your best shot. That one is the one I like the most.
Oh, cool.
I'm not sure about the big black square coming out of her head.
Yeah, I knew you'd pick up on that, and I sort of wish I'd really paid attention to that when I shot it, because it would have been easier to move it down to the other side of the door and leave that, you know, move myself and her so that you know, panel on the whatever that panel was on the right door was out of the right hand side of the frame.
Well, all she needs to do is move 2 or 3 inches to her left.
To her right.
To her left.
Oh, to cover it up.
Camera right, yeah. Yep. And her head would have blocked it.
Yeah.
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 That's really all it would have taken. But, once again, I guess I like it because I can see her eyes better.
Yep.
This is the first one where she's really looking into the light and the light's lighting her face. So it's probably a little bit more to my taste.
Yep.
I think her hair's the most flattering in this shot. Her lips look pretty good. That hard expression softened a bit by the softer light now. So there's no horrible shadows, which... Shadows on a hard face make it look harder. Does it make sense?
Shadows on a hard face.
Hard face. So if you've got a hard face
and
then you've got shadows on that face, it really, you know, it's like when you've got an old, craggy old bloke.
Yeah.
But if you've got shadows and the wrinkles, it's harder.
Right.
If all those wrinkles are soft and filled in, they're not as hard.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing, if you've got a model with a bit of a tougher face.
Yeah.
Well, you can accentuate that toughness by how you shadow it.
Right.
Or you can, by not having shadows, softens it and gets rid of it.
Right.
So in this one, she looks softer and there's a bit more wistfulness going on because she's looking up and looking away and all that kind of motion in that sort of stuff.
Right.
There. So,
I don't know. I'm only speculating here, but maybe this was a case of her loosening up because this was right towards the end of our 2.5 hours of shooting. So, you know, maybe, you know, she just relaxed a little over the course of the shoot. I don't know.
No, I think her face is still the same. She's got the same expression on her face. She's got the same sort of half-open lips, which I'm not a big fan of, I've got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There's two things that I like women doing in my photos. They can have the mouth open, but it's got to be the right kind of mouth to be open. I don't think hers necessarily suits her. And I don't like my women models smiling.
Right.
Yeah, so I always tell them not to smile. Because I'm married. Yes. I'm not used to seeing women happy. So I always say that joke to them, and then they laugh, and then you shoot that.
Yeah.
So you shoot the natural reaction to your stupidity. But that's a nice shot. A few little tweaks, but, you know, that's what happens. And the last one's your mirror shot.
Yeah.
Was that mirror just laying there, was it?
It was. This was just about, 40 metres up from up this little back street from where the green door was. And there's this, as you can see, there's a narrow garden bed there from that plank of wood that the mirror's resting on back to the sandstone wall. It's only about 30 or 40 centimetres deep, but it's just this little bit of garden that you know, it adjoins the footpath, and it's sort of like it's not in someone's backyard. It's just this random little bit of garden.
Yeah.
And obviously the locals have decorated it because there were two or three mirrors in the garden bed, and there, and you can see there's a little doodad of something in there amongst the foliage, you know, and there were little windmills and all sorts of stuff. And I saw the mirror and thought, oh, we got to do something with this. And so, yeah, I propped it. It was actually at the back leaning against the wall. I moved the mirror to suit the composition.
Yeah.
Got it in a position where, you know, I could stand across on the other side of the street and have her, from where I was standing and looking, she was actually in front of me. But because of the zoom that I was using, it sort of doesn't really look that way. And so I had her standing in the middle of the street and then the flash still in the softbox hitting her from one side.
Yeah.
But what I liked about it was that I could light it in such a way where, you know, the majority of the frame is underexposed.
Yeah.
But she is popping out of it.
Well, there's a couple of things going on.
Okay.
Where this kind of works. These are all things I know you planned. But first, I'll talk about those in a second.
Sure.
The spillover onto her right eye is a bit of a problem for me.
When you say spillover,
so spillover of light. See, so it just catches above the top of her eye and the actual fleshy part of the eye.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a little bulbous kind of like half semicircle of light.
Right.
Just there. So that's a bit of a distraction.
Right.
But yeah, but this, she's got a hard pose. Matches a harder expression.
Yeah.
That kind of works. So that's good. I just would have fixed the eye, and that would have been maybe moving the flash, maybe moving a nose a touch. There would have been just a little nuance you could have moved there where that would have solved that problem. But,
So otherwise, would you have had her turn her chin to the flash to bring more light onto the, you know, the far side eye, or would you have had her turn her chin away from the flash to send that side of the face into shadow?
Well, the problem is if you move her face away from the flash, it's not going to have that looking at you angle.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be a problem. If she looks towards the flash more, it's going to soften the shot and takes away some of the hardness. I would have moved the flash slightly.
Right.
Further away from you. Mm-hmm. So it's not lighting that side of the face and keeping that same pose, that same angle, but just not. But in post, I'd just darken that down if I stuffed it up and didn't realize. So here's the things that to me that make the shot work, and I know these are completely intentional.
Right.
Her size from the bottom of the mirror to the top of her head is exactly the same size as the window. So from the top of the window to the bottom under the actual window sill.
Okay.
So there's a balance going on there straight away.
Right.
Okay. Between her size and the window, they balance. So there's the two elements inside the mirror.
I wish I could take credit for that.
I know. So here's where it gets weirder, though. This stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
So her full size and the full window size are the same.
Right.
Then if you take from her white shirt to the top of her head,
yeah,
to the highlight in the window,
yeah,
it's the same size.
Wow.
Then if you take just her lit head down to top of her shirt to that spot of sunlight, it's the same size.
Right.
So you've got three elements inside that scene.
Three happy accidents.
That bounce. Yeah, but it's funny. So this is the thing. Sometimes it's these weird little things that happen that aren't your control. You might not even see it. That elevate shots sometimes.
Right.
That make the shot work for a reason. You don't even, why do I like this more than that one? It can be little stuff, little subtle stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Where there's just there's a balancing going on of elements in a scene that may not be immediately obvious. I see this stuff straight away when I look at photos.
Right.
I can see that. I can see scale of things versus thing, just because once again, you do something often enough, you start seeing stuff, you know. But they're the three things I saw straight away. It's bang, bang. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. So it all followed on from each other.
Yeah.
Happy accidents, but they're the things that elevate those shots.
Yeah.
To me. To me, anyway, that little bit extra. So, well done, dude. Much better than your previous attempt.
Thanks.
You know, what that means, though. It means you've just got to do more.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you get better every time, it makes sense to keep doing more.
Yeah.
So good on you for being brave enough to put your photos out there and potentially be slammed down again like last time. I caught some grief.
I'm just getting used to it now.
I was a bit too mean, apparently.
Who gave you grief?
I've had a few people on the old email. You know, it's been hard. You know.
Thank you, listeners.
Tough love is still love, you know.
Thank you for coming to my defense.
So, cool. There's a critique session for the day. It's good.
Yeah.
Nice. You've done more photos this week than I've had, dude.
So, oh, really? So nothing. God, that's unlike you.
I'm in a bit of a hiatus at the moment. I'm not doing much at all, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't have, up until the US, I don't really have much planned. I've got a few one-on-ones.
Yeah.
I've got a one or two understanding your camera workshops, and that's about it for the next few weeks. I'm sort of having a bit of a recovery session, I think.
The snow stopped falling.
Well, yeah, and my website's been worked on, and my good mate Dave's been unwell, so it's been sort of been a hiatus as well.
Yeah,
so I've been putting new events up, and so I've just been sort of just chilling a bit and have a bit of a break.
Oh well, I think you earn a bit of a break, you know, when you.
Yeah, I hope so. Occasionally, can't necessarily financially afford it, but yeah. That was much of a choice. Just a couple. I've got a few things I want to go through. If that's all right.
Yeah.
This might be of interest to the listeners, so I thought I'd bring it up. My Creative Photo Workshops Facebook page and our Shutters Inc. Facebook page was somebody tried to hack/phish it this week. I'm not sure if you saw it.
Oh.
We got this notification that
yes,
we'd been reported, blah, 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 yes, by something.
That's right, and I reported that page straight away.
Yeah, so both of my pages got done with that.
The interesting thing was that when you clicked on the link, which took you to their Facebook page, you could see where they'd used the exact same attack on hundreds of other pages. Like, you could scroll down their wall, and it was like all these posts that they'd posted on all these other pages, like the Shutters Inc. Facebook page, and using exactly the same wording. It was like, this is so clearly, you know, just a phishing attack. So I reported them straight away. So, yeah. Was there anything else you were going to add to that?
No, it's just people to be aware of. Don't fall for stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Just trying to be aware that stuff's happening on your Facebook pages and so on, and don't fall into those old traps.
Yep.
Excuse me, I've been battling the old my quarterly dose of man flu.
That's no good.
I got a preview this week of my Alan Crom ambassador video.
Oh,
which will be so they just started releasing the videos. They're doing one a week for like the next 8 weeks or something like that.
Right.
And mine's not as bad as I expected it to be. So as soon as that comes out, I will point that out. I'm doing a talk at Casey Camera Club next Thursday. It's Thursday, the 4th of August.
Right.
That's 2016, in case someone in the future is listening to this podcast. If anyone in that sort of Cranbourne sort of area in Victoria is looking for a bad way to kill an hour or so, I'm having a bit of a talk. And I've also been invited along by Fuji's invited me to be involved in an event with them called People with Cameras.
Right.
In Melbourne on September the 3rd. It goes from 4 o'clock in the evening, afternoon, till 7:30 in the evening.
Right. Dude, 3.5 hours? You can't be doing 3.5 hours. That's just way too long.
Work. That's like work. Fortunately, the other people help me out. I've put a link in the page notes for the Sydney event that has been held recently, and they had over 200 people to that one, and they're expecting 300 plus people to this one in Melbourne. I'm not really sure what they're doing, but it's about challenging your photography and stuff like that. But I'll be involved with Fuji doing something there. And I thought if anyone in Melbourne's looking for something to do with their cameras on September the 3rd, come along to that. People with Cameras.
Cool.
And then just found out today that another bastion of photo retail in Australia has closed down this week.
Oh, really?
That's Gibbs Camera House in Western Australia.
They were
a big force in Western Australia for many, many years. Father ran the business, and the son took over the business, and now there's no business.
Yeah, right.
Once again, unfortunately, another stake in the coffin of photo retail in Australia.
Yeah.
Just the way it is going, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So when I started out, there was 4,500 stores, and now they're down to, I don't know, 80, 90.
Yeah, right. Now, it's funny you should mention, well, not funny for the, you know, operators of the business, but funny that you should mention another business closing down, because I actually had a story for last week that I forgot to put into my text document, and as a consequence, we failed to cover it. And it was something that I saw whilst browsing the photography section inside Google Newsstand, which is another Google product for browsing, blogs and magazines and whatnot. And it was a story about Fuji opening a retail facility in New York City. And I can't remember the name of it, but basically they were trying to make it a real experience type venue rather than just
Wonder or something like that. Something Wonder.
Yeah, something like that. And
they showcased the store here at the digital show in Melbourne last year.
How?
They had the concept of how those stores are going to look.
Right. So it's kind of like combined coffee shop, camera shop, library, come in, read a book, have a coffee while we're, processing your film or whatever it was that they were planning on doing.
And that's kind of the concept for them. But, and they're supposed to be going worldwide with these things. I don't know how
successful it's going to be.
Well, whether it'll even really take off and how many they'll actually do, but that's sort of Fuji's way of looking at photo retail in a different way. Many years ago, Kodak went into the retail business and it just about killed them. So
yeah, right. All right, so what else you got?
Not a great deal.
You had portraits of women living as men.
Yeah, so I found this thing on Albanian women who lived their lives as men.
Right.
And this person's gone and done these portraits of these people, which I thought was really kind of bizarre. Very cool, very interesting. And so the portraits themselves aren't, going to set anyone on fire as far as the quality of the pictures, the photography is concerned.
Yeah.
But the characters are incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're called the Sworn Virgins of Albania.
Wow.
Burneshes. So females live their entire lives with men for reasons related to their culture and society. So it's really it's almost like a women's rights movement. It's an interesting thing. I thought people would find this quite fascinating. Yeah, let's look at that one. If anyone is interested in looking at some interesting portraits, really good portraits, some very interesting characters.
Yeah.
And then I saw pretty much the last thing on my list, Verizon in America have bought Yahoo.
That's right. Yahoo had been...
Now own Flickr.
Yeah. So Yahoo had been on the auction block for a couple of months. They'd put out basically an offer saying anyone who wants to buy different bits of the Yahoo business, get your offers in by, such and such a date. Yeah, and Verizon ended up picking up, I think, the lion's share of it for $4 billion. Steve Ballmer from Microsoft would be breathing one huge sigh of relief. I know he's not the head of Microsoft anymore, but, only 18 months ago, he was about to spend $36 or $38 billion to buy Yahoo. Dodged that bullet.
Man, that's crazy stuff, isn't it?
Yep. So, it'll be interesting to see what Verizon do with Yahoo, because they don't exactly have a great track record of doing compelling things with their business.
Very weird indeed.
But anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to Flickr.
Yeah, exactly. That was my main thing, is what's going to happen there with that.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it all goes.
Yeah.
So what have you got on your list of things to talk about tonight?
Right. Well, all stuff from our listeners.
Good.
Carl sent us a link about the RAW editing has just been announced for Lightroom Mobile.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty cool. Means most people are going to be using that on a tablet or a laptop, so it's pretty it's good that they finally got RAW editing into the mobile version of Lightroom for that like shooting RAW. I think the lag might actually be on my end because I'm having trouble to get that link to open right now. The next one was from Lightroom Killer Tips, and it was some Lightroom mobile features that snuck past the goalie. Oh, I haven't even had a chance to look at that story.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Ah. Well, thank you, Carl. I have nothing to comment on because I, for some reason, I posted or pasted that into my little text rundown and then forgot to actually check out the story before we started recording. And the third one from Carl was the announcement, which I think came out either today or yesterday, that Nikon are about to release the world's fastest 105mm prime, which will be an f1.4 lens. That's pretty sweet. Okay, I know you're not a Nikon shooter, but surely...
That's nothing to do with Nikon, not versus Nikon.
You're not interested in a 105 1.4?
Yeah, I'm not going to... It's not going to... It's nice and stuff. It's not going to change your world, though, is it? It's not going to... Yeah, it's not going to make you a better photographer. It's not going to... It's just another lens.
Okay.
It's hard to get excited about just another... Put it this way, I prefer that over Canon's 85mm 1.2.
Okay, for what reason?
Because if I'm doing a portrait, if I'm shooting 105 rather than 85, I'm further away.
Yep.
Get the same composition.
Yeah.
And if I'm shooting 1.4 rather than 1.2.
Yeah.
So 1.4 from further away gives me more depth of field.
Yep.
More chance of getting both bloody eyes in focus.
I was going to say 1.2 is really, yeah, very difficult to get everything in focus when
you're 1.4 is so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
So see my point. Yeah, it's like, it was nice and stuff, but, you know.
But how usable is it?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure 105 at f2 or 2.8 is going to be pretty darn sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a sweet lens. I'm sure it is.
So I've heard some photographers say that, you know, most lenses aren't great at their very widest aperture, and that usually just a half stop in from that widest aperture will provide a marked improvement in, you know, the quality of the images. Do you subscribe to that thinking?
Oh, it's only because it's true.
Right, okay.
I have no choice. It's not that I just subscribe or don't subscribe. It's just actually a fact. So whether I like it or not, it's just what it is.
So do you think that it applies to every lens or just the majority of lenses?
90%, 90-odd% of lenses. Right. Almost all lenses. Most lenses are better two or three stops down.
Right.
Not a third of a stop, but two or three stops.
Right.
So if your lens only opens up to f4, well, yeah, you're better off at f8, f11
right.
for sharps. You know? Right. So if your lens goes down to 1.4, well, then you're better at, 2.8, f4. It's going to be pretty decent, you know?
Yeah.
So if you can get a lens that's at its sharpest, pretty darn sharp at 2.8, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas most lenses, if you're shooting with, say, a 70 to 200 2.8, at 2.8, you're at its pretty much its softest.
Yeah.
And with this lens, you're almost at its sharpest.
Yeah, that's nice.
There are advantages there, but I just don't get excited about the old, 1.4 per se.
Right.
Yeah. Plus, right, if Nikon came along and said, Glenn, we want you a Nikon ambassador and here, have all this stuff. Love the 1.4.
Yeah.
Loving the 1.4. It's awesome.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'll just call you Hillary. Whatever gets the votes. Now, whilst you were away, we had David Marlin stand in a couple of times.
He came to a workshop the other day and I thanked him profusely.
Did you?
I did. He did and I did.
Ah, lovely. Well,
I told him I hadn't listened to it.
Well, David, the last time we spoke, said to me, I've got this massive collection of photography books that I've bought over the years. Would you be interested in me recording a short review of some of those books for inclusion in the podcast? And I said, why the hell not? So he's recorded four little, reviews on four different books. And I thought this week we will include the first of those.
No, I'm not a fan of these overachievers though, dude. I'm making both of us look bad.
There you go. So I'm going to throw to David now with his review of a book called Studio Anywhere by Nick Fancher. So over to you, David.
Thanks, Bruce. I like books. In fact, I like books a lot. And over the last few years, I've acquired quite a collection of photography-related books. Some have been great, swiftly getting pretty dog-eared as I kept using them, and others, well, they've ended up as fairly expensive doorstops. To me, there seems to be three types of photography books, though. There's how-tos, there's inspirational books, and there's technical books. And you can have a blend. But I thought I'd kick off with a how-to. The book's called Studio Anywhere. It's written by Nick Fancher, and it's published by Peach Pit. The subtitle says it all. The Photographer's Guide to Shooting in Unconventional Locations. It's a pretty easy read, and I think it's a practical book. It's all about shooting portraits and product, and it uses what's called a variety of studios, whether it's the living room, the backyard, the basement. Okay, so we don't have many basements in Australia, but you tend to get the drift. Whether it's in the office, the park, the street, your garage, whatever. He covers places that even include using one of those blue children's swimming pools. He uses really simple techniques and equipment, and the style is a very easy and interesting read. He makes the point that you just don't need lots of fancy gear to make your pictures effective. What you do though is need to think it through first, and he describes his whole process from conception right through to post-production. So that sounds like a pretty handy book, and it includes diagrams about his setups with some of the pictures involved, and the pictures themselves can be a little bit inspiring because it's looking at ordinary things in extraordinary ways. After all, a really good looking product shoot done in a puddle in a driveway to look quite glamorous is something to think about. So what did, say, I get out of it as an average photographer? Well, I thought it was pretty useful because it gives you ideas. And as I said, the writing style is pretty easy to get into. But I think the bottom line is to get the most out of a book like this, you need to have done some practical work first, either a lot of experience or to have done a workshop like, say, one of Glenn's flash workshops or one of his natural light workshops. To do a workshop like that means you've got a greater understanding of light and what it does and what you expect it to do. Because when you set up things as you might do in this book, it mightn't work. And to know what you need to adjust to get your concept right is pretty important. And you need to have permission to make mistakes like you can do in a workshop situation. And you exchange a lot of tradecraft there. So blend that with the book, and I think you'll get something out of it. Look, it's a handy book. I did like it. If you Google Studio Anywhere by Nick Fancher, you'll find it both ebook and hardbook. It varies from about $35 US to $60 Australia. I found it worthwhile, but do the workshop as well. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And this will be... Hey?
Smartass.
Yeah.
I mean, completely. He wants to upstage us, jump in on our podcast because he came along a couple of times to help us out. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to pop in every week as a special guest.
Well, I'm happy for him to do that.
Let's get on the Marlon bandwagon here. If anyone else wants to record a little segment.
Yeah.
You know, of something they want to talk about, they could do that and send it in.
Absolutely. I am more than happy for anyone to, if you would like to record some audio for this podcast, email me privately. I'm more than happy to help you get set up with microphone and software to record on. And then all you've got to do is just, you know, drop the audio file on a file share somewhere that I can access and then I can include it. So, yeah, if you've got books that you'd like to review, love to hear from you. Or if there's something else that you want to record and include, then please let us know. So thank you, David. And this will be an ongoing series for a little while until he gets bored with it. I heard from Ken Dixon. And
yes.
He sent us Ken
from Mad Gravette Photographic Society.
Yes. Now, he did send us a link and he also sent us an email. The link was Helicopter Flies By Bride in Crazy Wedding Photo.
Yeah.
This was an instance of they were out doing a wedding shoot. I think this was in Iceland, wasn't it? From memory?
It looked like it from the photo.
Yeah. And what happened was that there had been some sort of mild catastrophe which had required a helicopter to come to this beach to pick up somebody who had been wounded somehow. And so the guy who was shooting this bride decided that this would make a fantastic, you know, backdrop to this photograph. So as this helicopter was hovering over the beach, he's managed to, you know, get some shots of her, you know, beautifully side-lit with some off-camera flash and, you know, helicopter hovering in the background. But as the helicopter's flown off, they've flown right over the top of the bride, presumably thinking that they were doing the photographer a favour. Of course, what they've done is created a hell of a downwash, which was so violent it ripped the veil off her head. Looks quite impressive. There's a little animated GIF on the page, so yeah, check it out. I think there's also a bit of a behind-the-scenes video. So then Ken sent us an email.
He did.
And he said, "Hi, guys. Listening to a recent podcast, I heard Glyn asking about hints for teaching kids. I agree wholeheartedly with Bruce's comments about keeping it fun." See, it's my comments now. It's not your comments. My comments.
Someone's getting late. Hurry up.
Otherwise, the kids just zone out, just like Glyn.
Oh, I'm reading a music review of the Cure concert in Sydney last night. So just talk to yourself.
I've really enjoyed teaching my boys photography, and I've also been involved with teaching kids at Scouts and Cubs. In the beginning, I find it best to talk and explore with kids the soft photography skills, talking about composition, colour and light. These things can be well explored with cameras or phones in auto, but everyone can see immediate results and changes. Everyone is different, but eventually you hit a point where the kid wants to learn how to control the camera better, and this starts opening the discussion to the more technical aspects, such as aperture and shutter speed. With my 11-year-old, a great learning tool was the concept of a photo challenge, basically a photo scavenger hunt. It helps us to look for photos on a theme, and then we talked about ways to capture the image we wanted. And there's a link which will be in the show notes. Teaching my kids has been a wonderful experience. It's always exciting to see them get a concept and then run off and produce interesting photos. Kids see the world so differently. Like all kids, assume they will zone out or lose interest at different times. Learning to hang back then becomes a skill as well. Hope this helps in some way. Cheers.
I thought that was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
So I'll do something along those lines.
Excellent. And then Steve Peters sent us a link about 10 professional photographers who still shoot film. And there's some interesting stuff in here. Most of them are, yeah, well, it's a bit of a mixed bag. So I'll put that in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that one out. Mm-hmm. So...
I walked past a camera store this morning, funnily enough, I was in the city, and they had this massive box of film, and it's like something I haven't seen in 20 years, a camera store with it, like a big, massive box of just one type of film that's restocking the shelves.
Right.
And it's like, wow, it's just, yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah, right. What film was it?
Oh, no, some Kodak slide or Kodak something or other.
Okay.
Yellow.
That narrows it down a bit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was, as you can tell, I'm completely onto the film bandwagon and just, you know, loves the film. I was so enamored by seeing the film that I just couldn't look at the film and be dazzled by the film box. And it attracted my attention so high that it was like, film. Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for tonight.
Oh, is that it?
You enjoy your concert tomorrow night?
Is that it? We're done.
That is it. We're done.
Well, look at that. We're done.
Yeah.
Well, I will. I shall. I'm going to. And
I'll get out and shoot, you lazy bugger.
No, next week. Doesn't matter. We'll record a different day next week because I'm away. Cranbourne Camera Club, Casey Camera Club in Cranbourne.
Yep.
Next Thursday night, 7 o'clock. If anyone's around.
Fantastic. All right. You have a good week, mate.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
ShuttersincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShuttersincPodcast.com.